Bene creator spiritus, mentes tuorum visita, in plena superna gratia, quae tu creasti.
Hello and welcome to worship on Sunday the 19th of May, Pentecost Sunday. My name is Cara Heafy. I'm a hospital chaplain in Oxford and an associate minister for Marston and Wheatley United Reformed Churches. It's an honour to be sharing worship with you on this special day. Whoever you are and wherever you are on life's journey, you are welcome here.
Come, fire of love, warm our hearts. Come, winds of change, awaken our senses. Come, Spirit of God, meet us here.
Please. source of life, imaginer, artist, and author of such rich and beautiful diversity. You have room to hold us all inside your love. We gather here today to seek you, to praise you, and to lean into the warmth of your grace. Spirit of God, you are full of surprises. Intuitive One, you know the needs beneath our words. Teach us to pray with sighs, with groans, with silence, bringing the wholeness of who we are into the fullness of your redeeming love. Amen.
Welcoming God, you invite us into your life-giving presence, and we come as we are. You know us intimately, our selfishness, our stubbornness, our apathy. You teach us that the truth can set us free. In these moments of quiet, we bring you our own prayers of confession. God of grace and compassion, forgive us. Redeem our failures. Restore our hope. Love us back to life. Amen. In Jesus Christ, God makes all things new. The former things have disappeared. God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Sisters and brothers, your sins are forgiven. Be at peace. Amen.
As our Saviour taught us, so we pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Winds of her earth, resting where she wishes, mighty. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labour pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have been the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God.
Spirit, so Spirit, as every soul we have, here in this, for your Spirit. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. "People of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved."
It may not get the same billing as Christmas or Easter, but Pentecost is an important time in the church year. It's a time when we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the first disciples, as described to us in the reading that we heard from Acts. Many consider this event to be the birth of the Christian church, the moment when a ragtag group of scared, grieving, Jesus-following Galileans get it together, step into their power, and begin changing the world. This is far from being the Spirit's first appearance in the Bible. She's been there from the very beginning. In the Genesis 1 creation story, while the earth was still a formless void, she hovered over the surface of dark waters of chaos. In the book of Numbers, she inspires Moses and the elders of the camp to prophesy. In Ezekiel, in a vision, she leads the prophet to a valley of dry bones and restores them to life before his eyes. In the Gospels, she shows up at Jesus' baptism, descending from heaven in the form of a dove. Later, when Jesus prepares his disciples for his coming death, he promises that the Spirit will come to comfort and guide them. I've just been using female pronouns to describe the Holy Spirit, and you may be wondering why. My answer would be, why not? Let's remember, though, that all our language is limited. It can't contain God any more than religion can. All the names and images we use are provisional. Indeed, the Spirit's MO seems to be to defy containment and open up new possibilities. Early Christians here in Britain and Ireland used the image of a wild goose to depict the Holy Spirit in their art and illuminated manuscripts. I think there's a lot to be said for this idea. Geese are more powerful and bolshy than the gentle dove. They're noisy and disruptive. In the place where I usually walk my dogs, a footpath that runs between a river and a reservoir, flocks of wild geese often fly low overhead. It's exhilarating every time. I hear them, a cacophony of urgent honking, before I see them emerge over the top of the hedgerow. Sometimes I can feel the downdraft from the beat of their strong wings. Picture, again, the scene described in that reading from Acts. The stirring wind. The voices proclaiming in every language. The raucousness and joyful chaos that startled onlookers, causing some of them to tuck in disapproval. Yes, wild goose seems fitting, doesn't it? What I love about the Pentecost story and the work of the Holy Spirit in general is the radical inclusion. The gift of the Holy Spirit is poured out lavishly, indiscriminately, all over everyone, just as was promised through the prophet Joel. Gender is no barrier. Age is no barrier. Social status is no barrier. Culture, race, language are no longer barriers. Not because they are erased, but because they are all made welcome and provided for. In this glorious moment, there are no barriers. Everyone is able to join in. They get to hear the good news in language they understand and can relate to. They get a full VIP access all areas pass to the gospel. What began as a huddle of believers hiding in an upstairs room has spilled over and out into the street. That's the unruly, uncontainable Spirit of God for you. If you carry on reading the book of Acts, you'll find that the Holy Spirit keeps on overflowing all attempts at control and containment. There's a great story in Acts chapter 10 about how, while the community of believers were still arguing about whether or not Gentiles could be baptized, they noticed that they've already received the Holy Spirit anyway. We may have our own ideas about who's in and who's out. The Holy Spirit delights in ignoring them. Sad to say that a couple of millennia later, the Christian church still expends considerable time and energy debating where to draw its boundary lines. What a mess we humans make of things. Paul's words from Romans ring so true. The whole of creation groans in labour pain, just as we ourselves see the state of things and inwardly groan with longing and despair. Today, I want to suggest, as Paul does, that the Holy Spirit helps us in our brokenness. We see her at work when we make our worship and worship spaces more accessible. What are the barriers to full inclusion? How can we dismantle them? When we say that all are welcome, does this truly reflect the experiences of those who are different from us? We see the Holy Spirit at work when relationship becomes possible, even when differences had seemed insurmountable. Perhaps, like me, you've been present in the occasional spine-tingling church meeting, where emotions run high and decisions are costly, but conflict gives way to grace, and a loving way forward emerges. These are Holy Spirit moments. Moments where the scales of confirmation bias and tribal loyalty fall from our eyes. Moments where we glimpse our fellow humanity and the image of God in those we had othered. We see the Holy Spirit at work when our worship spills out of our buildings, onto the streets and into our neighbourhoods. When our Sunday morning faith spills over into the rest of the week. When belief translates into action. There's a modern hymn that refers to the Spirit as enemy of apathy. What a wonderful description. The Holy Spirit kindles creativity and hope. Perhaps you're listening to this and you're struggling to see where the Holy Spirit is showing up in your church. In the United Reformed Church, many of our local churches are closing. Many of our congregations are aging. It may be hard to feel hopeful about the future. Just like those first disciples at the end of Acts chapter 1, we may be grieving our losses, licking our wounds, fearful, disappointed, confused. Friends, do not let your hearts be troubled. Our readings this morning speak directly into situations like ours. Jesus promised that we will not be alone. When hope is scarce, when despair overwhelms, when we don't know how to pray or what to pray for, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. I don't know about you, but I find those words so helpful. I cherish the idea, which is well supported by other biblical examples, that groaning is an effective form of prayer. I pray that our scripture readings today will shift our perspective. We are part of something so much bigger. A worldwide family of Christians. Dysfunctional, but beloved. Beautiful in our diversity. Woven together by the wild, uncontainable, and always surprising Spirit of God. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.
believe in a living God, a God who has not stopped speaking, who bends the arc of history towards justice. We believe in a living God. We believe in God with us, brother in our suffering and victim of our brokenness, who breathed peace upon his friends and promised we will never be alone. We believe in God with us. We believe in the Spirit of God who dwells within the dancers between us, healing divisions, defying expectations, igniting creativity and love. We believe in the Spirit of God. Amen.
These prayers have a call and response refrain based on Psalm 104. Send forth your Spirit
to bless and heal, restore and refresh the earth.
God of love, your creation groans under the weight of human carelessness and greed. We pray for forests and glaciers, oceans and rivers, the air and the soil, and the life they sustain. We pray for communities who are displaced or endangered by a changing climate. Help us to restore balance in our lives and in the ecosystems that hold us. Send forth your Spirit
to bless and heal, restore and refresh the earth.
We pray for places that are torn apart by war, where conflict is entrenched and trauma handed down through generations, where children are pulled from the rubble, where peace seems a distant, impossible dream. Send forth your Spirit,
bless and heal, restore and refresh the earth.
Breath of life, we pray for your church, blow through us like a wild wind, disturbing our certainties, stirring our hearts, energizing our worship. Burn in us like tongues of flame, illuminating truth, exposing injustice, beacon of welcome and hope. Send forth your Spirit
to bless and heal, restore and refresh the earth.
Peacemaker, intercessor, advocate, we pray for our relationships. Help us to communicate well. Gift us with language that's expansive and inclusive. Make us generous in our listening and courageous in confronting our own prejudice and privilege. Warm with compassion, hearts that are hardened by hurt. Send forth your Spirit
to bless and heal, restore and refresh the earth.
Amen.
Spirit of God, unseen as the wind, gentle.
May the Spirit of God blow through our lives, unsettling our certainties, awakening our imaginations, driving us out into adventure. And may the blessing of God, Source, Saviour and Spirit, be yours today and always. Amen.